is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it's Monday. Let's get to it. It's a work week ahead and so much to get done. This hour brought to you in part by Mesa. Good health, good business, and great schools. Yeah, Mesa. This hour's sponsor here on the Steve Gruber Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number, the hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. In fact, Brian is on the line in southern Michigan right now. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Man, I'm heading right towards the Bermuda Triangle right now.
Really?
Shooting's going on. It's like, oh, crap. Hopefully yeah. I don't get shot at because I got an interview today. So, anyways, I'm interviewing with Lowe's, and I worked my tail off to get my Class A CDL. And on Friday, I went down to the Secretary of State, and I did my hazmat, and I got to go get fingerprinted and all that stuff. Nonsense. There's a lot of stuff you got to go through to be a professional truck driver, Steve.
Yeah, I understand that. Plus, then you're in charge of it. And then, of course, the price of fuel and so forth you have to contend with. Right now, fuel is good, of course. I hope you don't get shot at down there. You know, again, I was talking about this earlier. What could you possibly do to protect yourself? I mean, we wouldn't do anything differently. Random shootings along the highway. We've been through this before back in 2012, but just spooky.
Yeah, it is. There's too many weird people out there nowadays, Steve.
Yeah, just a spooky situation. Well, Brian, I wish you the very best and congratulations on getting all the work done to be an over-the-road driver. I appreciate the support. I guess you'll be all over not just southern Michigan from now on. Maybe you'll be elsewhere calling in.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. You have a all great right. day, Steve.
You too, Brian. Thanks for checking in. Again, the phone number here is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. That highway shooting, dating back into July. You know, we've been through this before, like we said. Raleigh Castile of Wixom was taking shots at people along I-96 between Detroit and Lansing back in 2012. He was finally caught and then convicted in January of 2014. He's likely to spend the rest of his life behind bars, a long prison sentence, and who knows if he ever gets out. This incident currently, several incidents, at least about half a dozen, along I-94 and I-69, nobody's been injured thus far, but it's just random, you know, and what a mess. What an absolute mess. Of course, we'll keep you an eye on that if anybody else starts pulling the trigger. One of the sources I go to on a regular basis in prepping for this program is The Hill. TheHill.com seems to be a pretty reasonable source for politics and so forth. And The Hill has just released its rankings of the 2016 Republican candidates for the first time as the race cranks up to a new level of intensity with debate season underway, at least for the Republicans. Debate season for the Democrats doesn't start until Halloween or something like that. But anyhow, Donald Trump, as you can imagine, leading the race, which is pretty impressive. The Hill did not even rank Trump when the field was first assessed in May, and he came in eighth in the last version in July. So elites continue to scoff at Trump, but he is arguably the front runner for the nomination at this point. Trump has held the lead in national polling averages since mid-July and has not come close to relinquishing it. He tops polls in the first three key states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. His ratings were not dented by the furor that surrounded his performance in the first Republican debate. That was back on August the 6th, and his, you know, battles back and forth with Megyn Kelly seemed to only, you know, bolster his ratings. You know, so he continues to to do very well. Former Governor Jeb Bush has fallen from first to second in this rankings by the Hill. And here's the reason I really want to point this out to you. In number three position is the guy I have been telling you for a very long time is the guy to watch, and that's Governor John Kasich of Ohio. He's moved up from being ranked 10th in July to number three on the Hill's poll. They say he is number two in New Hampshire. He will do very well there, and he will beat Jeb Bush. So his critical move is John Kasich's is being made right now. Sure, we'll go back to the hotlines right now. Alex tells me Mark is on the line in Weberville today. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Love your show. I'm really curious what your opinion is on Barack Obama's been heard on TV and on the news as well, is that he's not going to give up the seat of the presidency. My personal opinion is that with him being a member of the Islamic Brotherhood and not wanting to give up the presidential seat, what is your opinion on he may call on his Islamic Brotherhood to invoke an EMP over the United States, invoke martial law, and not give up the seat on the presidency?
Well, Mark,
as it
you.
Is right
thank
now, Pakistan's running dry runs up and down the southern part of Mexico and Texas with empty
freighter ships. Well, let me answer the question here. Mark. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much for the call. To be quite honest with you, I don't take those notions seriously at all. As you may recall, the same things were being said about George W. Bush, that he would declare martial law and would not give up the presidency and so on and so forth. So before I get too far down that rabbit hole, I'll just say, no, I don't buy that. I don't think it's likely at all. In fact, I think it's nearly impossible. Now, could I be proven wrong? Sure. But I don't believe that he's going to call to arms any such brotherhood of any such thing. Again, the same things were said about George W. Bush. He was never going to leave office. He was going to declare martial law. And even back, I heard, you know, these sorts of things were said about Bill Clinton as well. But it seems to me with each passing year on the internet that these sorts of these stories, these conspiracy theories, if you will, are put out there to frighten people. And I don't know to what effect. But there you have it. And there's my answer. No, I don't take it seriously, and I give it zero credibility. But I appreciate you calling in. The phone number here is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. And that's not to say I don't find many issues with the president. I do, as you well know. But I, you know, in order to stay in office, it would take a lot of hard work. Well, let's be honest, he doesn't want to work that hard. He'd rather go play golf as the former president without any of the pressure and all of the perks. And that's the truth. He can go golf and have a Secret Service detachment. You know, his Secret Service detail can run him around and take him golfing every day, and he can have fine meals and do whatever and have none of the pressure. Pretty simple. All sorts. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Back to discuss the Todd Corser, Cindy Gambrett scandal right here on the Steve Gruber Show after a quick break.
Your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
In hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by for one that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection.
And back to the politics, by the way, to finish out that right article from The Hill. Two candidates, make that three candidates, are rising. Trump, Kasich, and Fiorina all rising. The rest, Bush, Walker, Rubio, Carson, Huckabee, and Paul all declining. And Ted Cruz still in the back, but remaining the same at number seven in that conversation. Well, switching politics to the scandalous type at the State House, the scandal that just keeps on giving, Todd Corser and Cindy Gambrett. This conversation going on for a while now. These two apparently had a extramarital affair, both freshman lawmakers, both Republicans, both Tea Party members, and then into this web of strangeness, I guess. Kyle Malin, the MERS News editor, here with us this morning. Some new things are coming out today, and Kyle Malin is, he's just the best guy to talk to about it. Kyle, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
So, yeah, what's happening today? I understand some of the investigation information might be coming out. Where are we in this strange conversation?
Well, the House Business Office last week gave the Speaker of the House, Kevin Cotter, two boxes of voluminous information on what was collected as far as interviews with people involved in this situation, documents, emails, anything that could be extracted from the office of Cindy Gamrat and Todd Corser. The Speaker's independent legal counsel at Dickinson Wright has gone through this for the past week, and today we're expected to see more specifics on how these two allegedly misused taxpayer dollars for both political and private use. And hopefully we'll get more details and see how the Speaker wants to proceed on this. There is a special committee that has been established to take a look at this. The Speaker hinted last week that we could see a hearing from this special committee as soon as this week, before Labor Day. So we'll keep our eyes on that, who he's going to appoint, how quickly they're going to meet, and what, in particular, they're going to be looking at.
Well, you know, he can't let this go too long, so I guess being a timely approach to this is probably a really good idea, because, let's be honest, it's already been a cloud, a circus distraction of sorts for a while now, and it's probably behooves the Speaker, as soon as he can clean this up and sweep this mess up, he'd like to move on, I would think.
Yeah, I think you're right. The House is coming back into session, not this week, but next week. And obviously the road funding debate is going to come back. They also have a lot of education issues they want to deal with. We've got teacher evaluation, a statewide teacher evaluation system that they'd like to set up. They also have a large third grade reading package that the chair of that committee, Amanda Price from Holland, wants to get moving on. So those, and then we've also got the Detroit school situation as well that the governor put on the table earlier this year, and that situation's even more messed up than what the city of Detroit was, in the sense that you also have, the education of children involved here in a chronically underperforming school that's in debt. So there's a lot of issues to be taken up, and this issue with Cindy Gamrat and Todd Corser has been a distraction in August, and maybe a silver lining in the fact that they couldn't get anything done on roads. But now that we're getting into fall and folks are going to be concentrating more on getting public policy done, you're right, the Speaker wants to get this done and out of the way, and I would expect both of them to be expelled by the end of September.
Now you think they're going to get tossed?
I do, yeah. And the reason is, I think the Speaker's known all along there was something fishy going on. If you remember back on August 7, I believe it was the date that Chad Livingood in the Detroit News published the initial the audio recordings that a former staffer made, in which the two talked about their affair and that strange email they cooked up and how that was all done on state time. And at that time, you know, remember, the Speaker was out with like at 3 in the morning with a statement saying he thought that there needed to be an investigation and this needed to be looked at. And that was 3 hours in the middle of the night. I mean, the guy was on the stick. So, I mean, he remember back when the business office was looking into this. He had the House voting on a special committee before he even had the information back. This guy is anxious to get this done over with. These two have been undesirable members of the caucus practically since January 1. They have been bucking the system. They have not been playing ball. They've been trying to do their own thing. They've been problem members of the caucus from the get-go, and I don't think he can wait to get them out.
So he has, I mean, is there enough meat on the bones here? And to me, you know, for as a casual observer, I would say it appears from this casual vantage point that there is. But it's pretty historic to have people thrown out that are elected people elected representatives of the people. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. We had an incident back in the 1880s, I believe, where they had a state representative was trying to bribe people to vote on a local measure that would benefit his district. We had, obviously, David Jay back in 2000. We had another state representative back in the 1970s who also had some issues, and he got expelled. So as far as I know, see, that's one, two, three. I think this would be the fourth time in state history that this has happened. So, yeah, it's pretty historic, but, again, the speaker has moved so fast on this. He obviously knows something's amiss. He knows there's enough there to get them out, and he feels pretty confident about it to be pretty much out in front. I mean, he's been leading with his chin on this, and I'd be surprised if there isn't enough there to convince the rest of the members of the House that these guys need to go.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's the down low on it. That's why Kyle comes in here, because you're very well in touch with all these folks on a regular basis, so you have a very good perspective as well. And there you go. So again, real quickly before we run, when do you think this shoe will drop? Real quick.
It will happen sometime today, as far as when the details of this thing is going to come out.
All right, Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS News and a regular guest here on the Steve Gruber Show. Kyle, have a great Monday, my friend.
You too, Steve.
There you have it. Kyle Malin, everybody, on the Steve Gruber Show. And he's always quick on that, isn't he? Always quick. At any rate, we'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Welcome back to it. It's Monday. Time to get down to it. It's the work week. Thank you for tuning in to the Steve Gruber Show. If you'd like to find out more, go to stevegruber.com. You can listen live there by clicking the Listen Live button. That's just how clever we are. And podcasts of interviews like the interview coming up with Liz Peek, you can find that under the podcast heading as part of Podbean. All available at stevegruber.com. You know, China not feeling well economically, so the whole world apparently not feeling well. Very, just a strange week, up and down. 600-point fall, then 1,000 points, and then back up a few hundred. Liz Peek from Fox News and the Fiscal Times, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
So, we took a free fall, and then we took another little plunge, and then all of a sudden we're going back up, and all of this with the backdrop of the yuan being adjusted and changed in China, currency manipulation. Donald Trump, bellowing that the problem is with China and so forth. But the Chinese economy apparently certainly affects the rest of us.
Well, it does, because, of course, it's been the major driver of global growth now for actually decades. I mean, estimates vary, but somewhere between a third and a half of global GNP expansion over the last 20 years has come from China. So it's very important that not only that China has a little bit of a dip here in their growth rate, but more importantly that the entire method that China has relied on for growth for so many years, that is an export-driven economy, is now faltering. And so what we saw that kicked off this market turbulence was China reacting to the fact that their new plan, their dependence on the consumer in China, is falling short. Consumers simply aren't spending in China, and a reversion to kind of their old practices, which was driving exports partly through, as you said, devaluing their currency. And I think, markets, investors have been aware that the Chinese growth rate was slowing, but I think, the actual rate of growth is questionable. They lie about their statistics, so we don't really know how fast the country's growing. But the measures taken by the government over the last few weeks really kind of made everybody sit up and say, oh my gosh, this is not what we thought. This is much more important, much more significant, and that's why you had the market sell off.
Okay, so you look at the average investor. Myself, I guess, would be considered an average. I've worked at two or three different companies along the way. I work for myself as well. You know, I've put money away along the way, and I've had people put me into mutual funds and different things, which seems to be the standard vehicle for middle-class folks, if you will. And then they watch the market go 600 points off the cliff. They look at their investment. Maybe they're in their 50s. Maybe they're in their 60s, and they have a fear, have a little panic attack looking at the numbers. What should we tell people like that?
Well, first of all, that the actual impact on the U.S. economy is likely to be pretty modest. So to the extent that a lot of people are involved in or invested in huge multinational companies, yeah, some of those are going to have a little bit of a ding in terms of earnings growth and valuations. And we've seen that. We've seen companies like Apple come under a lot of scrutiny because they sell so many iPhones in China. If you are kind of looking at your portfolio right now, the safest place to be is domestic companies, companies operating in the U.S., because our economy, relative to most others in the world, is doing quite well right now. But more largely, you know, I would just tell people, look, it's a turbulent time. The reality is that we've gone 6 years into a bull market. Probably the stranger thing is we've had so few of these hiccups. We had one in 2011, but by and large, thanks in part to the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates near zero, there has been many months and years now of upward trending markets, and I think all of us recognize that that is really the unusual thing. So the message is this isn't that surprising. The market may not, in my view, I think we're sort of in a period where everyone's going to wait and see what the Fed does. And I think Janet Yellen is pretty committed to starting to raise rates, and I think that's the right thing. And so I don't think the markets are going to have sort of the easy peasy, you know, 5%, 10% gains every year that we've gotten kind of used to. But on the other hand, it's the best place to be. In the U.S., in equities is the best game in town. So, you know, nothing dire is happening. It's just an adjustment.
Yeah, I remember my father saying, well, when the Dow broke 7,000, he thought he would never see the day. He passed away a few years ago. I don't know what he would do with 17,000. You know, he would
rejoice, probably.
Yeah, he probably would have rejoiced. Yeah, he probably would have. But, you know, and the Dow surpassed the 10,000 mark for the first time in October of 2009. And you're right, it continues to, you know, it continues to excel. But the Dow by itself and the stock market by itself is not an accurate predictor of the overall economic strength or weaknesses of the economy. It's one indicator, and it's good for a lot of folks that are retiring, but it's not the overall best indicator. And I guess the question going forward is, how are we going to deal with China manipulating currency and so forth? It's something that Donald Trump has certainly brought to the conversation.
Yeah.
for the campaign. Where do we go from here, Liz? We got about 30 seconds.
I think it is indeed time to get tough on China. I wrote about this about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. They're having some problems right now, and the sad thing is Obama is going to be hosting Xi Jinping, the head of China, in the next couple of weeks, and what he will spend all our political capital or advantage on is China's acquiescence to a climate control deal that'll develop in Paris in December, and it's a tragedy because there are other things we could be forcing on them right now, such as, you know, stop the hacking. That, in my view, enough with the stealing our industrial and military secrets. Let's have a ceasefire on that front because that is costing America enormously.
I just found, this is for fun, and I'll leave this note with you. The Daily Caller just put up a 2009 ABC News special report on climate change that predicted by 2015 we'd be in deep trouble with $12 milk and $8 gas. Well, you know, some things just don't come to pass. Liz Peek, always a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Have a great day, everybody. That can be found in the Daily Caller. You know, the fear mongers, it didn't pan out.